This story about Palm Sunday we've been looking at now. We looked at it last week. Remember the day that Jesus needed a donkey? And today we're going to look at it again, and then next week, which is actually Palm Sunday, we'll look at the story again. But this story about Palm Sunday is one of those stories that is very well documented in the New Testament. In fact, it's one of the stories about Jesus that you'll find in each one of the four Gospels. That's different, because not every story is recorded in every four Gospels, but this one is. So that gives it a sense of importance that perhaps other stories may not have. And it's one of the accounts of the life of Jesus that God obviously wanted us to notice and to think about. And the question that we do well to ask because of that is the question, why? Why is the story of Palm Sunday so important as far as Jesus and his followers are concerned? Well, one answer relates to the importance of those hosannas that were uttered by the crowd and by the disciples on that day. Matthew 21:9 says, "The crowds that went ahead of Jesus and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" The interesting thing about this word Hosanna is it actually means save or save us. Yet, because it was normally used of the in the context of crying out for a saviour when the saviour had already arrived. Crying out for a saviour when he's actually at the gates of the city, knocks the gates round and he's coming in. Then you cried out and you said, "Save us," knowing it was to happen. So consequently, because of that, this word became a praise word. It became an excited acclamation of joy because the night in shining armour had already arrived. I'm going to have to borrow some of your water, Jan. Now, that it is used here in that way is very obvious from the reaction of the disciples who were so full of joy, but also from the reaction of the Pharisees. Luke 19:39 tells us this. "Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.'" And the reason they said that was because these men recognized that what the disciples were calling out was very revolutionary. It amounted to treason as far as the Romans were concerned. The Romans were the conquerors of the country, you see. And so, in fact, when these people were crying out, "Hosanna," as far as the Pharisees were concerned, this is people power gone crazy. This could so easily lead to a bloodbath. This would destabilize the political situation. And they were reasonably happy with the political situation at that time, because it was quite good for the Pharisees. And so they said to Jesus, "Look, stop your disciples saying that. It's dangerous." Well, Jesus responded to them, as we would know he respond, with these words. And these are really wonderful words. "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Now, Matthew goes on a little bit later on and informs us that even after the procession, even after they had gone through Jerusalem and up to the temple, when Jesus was in the temple, there were children there. And they were still shouting out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And the chief priests, who spent most of their time in the temple, they were indignant about this. And in Matthew 21:16, we find them saying to Jesus, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus replied, "Yes. Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. So in both these examples, we see Jesus affirming the hosannas as very important. And in so doing, he reveals how vital they were to his mission. That's why the title that I've given for our message today is "The Day That Jesus Needed His Followers' Praises." You see, Jesus as the Son of Man, Jesus in his humanity, needed these hosannas. Why? Well, he knew what lay ahead of him. He knew that on the Thursday night he would be arrested. He knew he'd be beaten. He knew he'd been taken and put on trial, a very forced trial. He then knew that he would be lashed. He then knew he would be taken, and on the Friday he would be crucified. And that caused some feelings of agony in him, of anguish. We know that from Gethsemane, the typical human feelings that we would have had too. He had them as well. He took them to his Father in prayer at Gethsemane. You see, Jesus was truly God, but he was also truly man. And we can sense that he needed this affirmation of him as king, this declaration of his status as king by his followers before it was pinned in a notice over his head on the cross. And he was blessed. He was blessed by those hosannas, despite the fact that he knew many of them were rather shallow. But he was still blessed by the hosannas of his disciples. But especially, Jesus needed those hosannas as God the Son. He needed them from those who believed in him. For you see, they affirmed him as the chosen one, as the coming Messiah, as God the Son, coming into this world with deliverance in his hand and salvation at his side. On that day, that very first Palm Sunday, there were many who would have proclaimed their hosannas and didn't truly understand or believe what they were saying. But there were many others who were his followers. They didn't just cry out, "Hosanna." They took off their outer garment, which was a very precious thing to them, and they threw them in the dirt under the feet of a donkey. Why? Because they believed that this Jesus was, as Peter had said, indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it was their hosannas that God used to let the world know that he had come as he had promised, and that there was nothing man or spirit could do that would prevent his total triumph over death and sin and evil at the cross and through the resurrection. Even death by crucifixion was powerless to stop the Messiah from bringing salvation and deliverance to the world. Indeed, to creation itself. And this message was so vital that if his followers had not cried out, "Hosanna," then the stones would have done the job. Now, all this is actually confirmed by what those people shouted. You see, we know they shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna," but they shouted a little bit more than that. And in fact, what they shouted was a quote from the Old Testament, from Psalm 118. Psalm 118 is a very interesting psalm. You will need to go home and read the whole lot. I'll read some of it to you now. But it's a very interesting psalm. And it was a psalm that was recited by the priest with responses from the people on the Feast of Tabernacles every year in Jerusalem. And when this psalm was recited by the priest who recited it to commemorate, of course, the freedom from Egypt and the travelling through the wilderness, but when the priest recited it and the people responded, the priest had branches of palm trees in their hands. and of willow trees. In fact, the connection was so great that they called the last day of the feast the Great Hosanna. And they called these branches that they waved the Hosannas. So this psalm has an extremely strong connection, doesn't it, with Palm Sunday. But even more than that, it speaks directly, this psalm, about the coming Messiah, about Jesus. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 118. Put a note in it so you can turn to it later on and read it. But turn to Psalm 118. And I just want to read verses 19 to 24 to you. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answer me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone or cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, I'm certain that you recognise some of those verses. And especially verse 22. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. What is very interesting is that a little bit later in Matthew 21:42, Jesus quotes this very verse about himself in a parable he told. In fact, it was the very next day, the Monday, that he quoted that verse. Peter, the apostle, quoted that same verse in Acts chapter 4, after the day of Pentecost, in one of his sermons. And then later on, Peter was to write that verse in one of his letters, the first letter, the second chapter, that he wrote, the first letter of Peter in our New Testaments. And here, on Palm Sunday, the Sunday before his death, Jesus, the stone that the Jewish leaders had already rejected, is proclaimed the foundation stone of God's kingdom. Isn't that great? The verses that follow those verses are the very ones that the people cried out. Verses 25 to 26. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. Now, the word, O Lord, save us, that word, or two words, save us, is the Hebrew word, Hosanna. When I say the Hebrew word, Hosanna, it is exactly Hosanna. The Hebrew letters, in their English equivalent, spell out the word, Hosanna. That's what they said. O Lord, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But even more exciting than that is what the psalm then goes on to say in the last three verses of the psalm, which are the next three verses. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Now, the contemporary English translation of this psalm puts it like this. The Lord is our God, and he has given us light. Start the celebrations. March with palm branches all the way to the altar. The Lord is my God. I will praise him and tell him how thankful I am. Tell the Lord how thankful you are, because he is kind and always merciful. Words written centuries before Jesus rode into Jerusalem. The hosannas of those people on that day and their relationship to Psalm 118 confirm the coming victory that Good Friday and Easter Sunday would declare. You see, God already knew the battle was won. Of course he did. He is God. Good Friday wasn't like a football match. You turn up on the day and hope the best one wins. It was already worked out. God had already defeated the power of evil. He is God. No force can triumph over him. And he needed his followers then and us today to be able to look back on Palm Sunday and realize that his followers were able to celebrate the victory before it happened, because God is undefeatable. No power on earth is able to thwart the plans of God. It couldn't then, it couldn't today. No power in heaven is able to thwart the power of God. It couldn't then, and it can't today either. And that's why we can and should always praise God, because we know he is the victor. God knew that his disciples, after Palm Sunday, would have to go through the agony of his death before the joy of Easter Sunday. But he knew also that when they looked back, they would see that his victory had been declared on the Sunday beforehand, because God knew it would happen. From that time on, they would know, and we know too, that whatever times of seeming defeat that a believer will go through, and there will be times, the victory has already been preordained for us by God. So even on the darkest days, we have reason for praise, reason to be thankful, reason for hosannas. For God is in control, and in him we always have the final victory. And it is through the sincerity of our praise before others that we let God know, and also those around us, that such is our trust, such is our belief. May our homes, may our streets and our homes be full of dancing. May our homes be full of joy. May we offer our praise to Jesus. That's what Palm Sunday is all about.